Hey, it's Joni Williams, and you're listening to the Jazz Spotlight with Jan Ilunga.
Episode 69.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Happy Fat Tuesday. Jan Ilunga here with the 69th episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. Super pumped, like every episode, but in particular for this one, because this is really a must listen. If you're a musician or if you're a music student, you're about to graduate from music school, you really are in the right place, because today we talk about the business side of your career, and more specifically, we talk about how you can protect your music. So we're really gonna go into details on several things you can do and you should actually do to make sure that you protect your art. And my guest today, it's a great guest, is New York-based attorney and business advisor, Joni Williams, who joins us to talk about what she does, to give out some tips on what you can do to protect your music, and much, much more. Like always, you find the links to everything Joni and I talk about in this episode at thejazzspotlight.com/episode69. Without further ado, here is How to Protect Your Music with Joni Williams. Have fun. Hey everyone, I'm here with a very, very special guest on the podcast. And this is one of those episodes that I really think every musician should listen to, because today we talk about how you can protect your music, and we talk about that from a legal standpoint. So we're gonna really talk about things like copyrights, about the legal aspects of your career. So if you're a musician, if you're an independent musician, or if you're maybe starting out with your career, you're at the right place. And my guest today is Joni Williams, an attorney that works with creative people, thought leaders, artists, and I'm super, super excited to have her on the show. It's with great pleasure that I welcome her. Hey, Joni, how's it going?
Hi, yeah, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. And I'm really pumped about having you here, because I told you before the interview, when I was, you know, putting together some points of discussion and questions for you, I was looking at your website and I was really impressed. And I saw that you've been also on other music business podcasts. So it's great to have you here today.
Yes. And I love talking about this stuff. So it's so much fun for me. And I love helping and educating people. And so I was so excited when I got the call from you to be on the Jazz Spotlight. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. It's very nice to have you here. And I gave a very short intro about who you are and what you do. So can you tell the listeners a couple of things more about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is actually my community, I like to call it, when it comes to musicians, because I started off in the music industry as a musician myself. I was a vocalist. Mm-hmm. And what kind of happened to me is that I wasn't credited or compensated for the work that I did. And I realized that early on that this was my job to go out and empower other artists so that they understand what are the legal things that they need to take care of to ensure that they don't also end up in a place of exploitation. So mm-hmm. What my message really is about empowering people so that they know exactly what they need to do to access the right resources, the right people to protect what it is that they're putting out in the world. And at the same time, for them to be able to put it out without fear, like knowing that they can be free in what it is that they're doing and be free in their creative process and not worry in this crazy like internet world that things are going to be stripped from them and stolen from them, because we need more creativity in the world. So it's my job to help people protect it so that they feel free to do that.
And you know, Janae, what I like about what you do, that I think that sometimes when people think about law, it sounds, you know, it feels like it's a heavy topic. It's kind of that part of a career that people really don't want to have anything to do with. But when I checked your website, jawilliamslaw.com, I really started to get a good vibe about you and about what you do. And you have a blog there with some great tips. You have a community, like you told us. You also have a great Facebook group that you guys, you're going to find the link to the Facebook group as well as the website and everything Janae and I talk about in this episode in the show notes. And you have this Facebook group where I think it's great because I recently joined it and I've seen that how people are really interacting. You are really active. You're really answering questions, which I think is great because sometimes, you know, there is a bit of distance between, for example, lawyers or anyways, people involved or that work with the law or the legal aspects of careers and with their clients. But with you, I see from this Facebook community that you're really, you know, you're really engaged and you really like what you do, which is awesome.
Yes, I love what I do. And I love my Facebook community because I kind of see it as like a network. It's a place for many artists to come and to get support and connect with each other and to, you know, just kind of get empowered and understand what they need to do in order to kind of take their careers to whatever level that they want to take them to. And it's really important for me to continuously be engaged with my audience because, like you said, so often, we have professionals who work in the space of like helping and supporting the artistic community that are really inaccessible or that they feel like they're a mystery to you. And mm-hmm. It's funny because when people see me at like events, like I just did a conference last month and people are just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you. And like, oh, this is so exciting and stuff. And I'm and wow, you're so approachable. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a real person. Like, you know, it's all good. Like we can talk, you know, and I'm not going to be like, okay, you know, to talk to me for 5 seconds, you know, $500 an hour kind of thing. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, this is my heart. This is my passion. And I want to help people. And so the reason why I created the Facebook group was because I knew that there are so many artists out there that they feel alone. Like the creative process can sometimes be really isolating, mm-hmm. but when you become an entrepreneur, there's no way that you can be successful in isolation. You just can't. You have to be able to connect with other people. You have to be able to connect with like-minded people. You have to be able to run things by other people in the community and get help and support. And you go a lot faster and a lot more structured in that way. And so that's the reason why I wanted to provide a platform and a space for artists to be able to connect and to do that.
Amen. So guys, as I said, the link to the Facebook group, it's in the show notes. Make sure to join the group, say hi to Janae and let her know that you came through the Jazz Spotlight. All right, Janae. The first question I have to ask you about, so today we talk about kind of how to protect your music, how to protect your career. And I know that through the Facebook group, through, you know, your experience working closely with artists, you have seen, you know, many, many, many situations. And what do you think are the legal aspects that sometimes artists overlook or ignore even when it comes to their career?
I think there are quite a few, actually. One is really interesting that has come up recently that I've noticed that a lot of artists don't take stock in is trademark. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know FKA Twigs. Do you know that artist?
Yeah, I do.
So she's in a legal battle over her name mm-hmm. right now because it's because there is a band called the Twigs that already owned it, and they've been around since the 90s. And you know, they had you know, they've been having like some legal battle over that name. And I think that that's something that a lot of artists don't think about, but you know, stage names are really important. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast, not a podcast, I was listening to a YouTube the other day, and one of Nicki Minaj's old managers says that he owns the trademark for her name. Whoa. You know, and he owns the NickiMinaj.com, you know, and so, you know, if you go to NickiMinaj.com, there's nothing there because he's like basically squatting on it until, you know, he can get some money for it. And these are the kinds of things I bring these up because these are the kind of things that artists tend to overlook. They don't think about, okay, if I'm going to take this to the next level, I need to make sure that I'm going to trademark my name and know and make sure that there's nobody else that's in this artistic space, in the music space, that can own that name. You know, you don't see any more Lady Gagas out here in the world, you know? So you know, you want to make sure that that's a part of it. And then also one thing that the artists in my community don't tend to overlook this, but just in the general sense, many times artists don't think about actually copywriting their work because they just kind of think, OK, well, as long as I create it and it's in, like, you know, in the U.S., if it's in a fixed and a tangible form, it's automatically considered to have a copyright. So many times entrepreneurs and artists just kind of, you know, they ignore that piece of it when in actuality it gives you a certain level of legal standing and professional legal credibility if you have the actual copyright for whatever it is that you claim that the work is, whether it's a beat or a song or a piece of artwork or even a tattoo. You know, these are the kind of things that you want to make sure that you register and that you have the actual the professional documentation and legal documentation to show that you own these things. So those are a couple of things that that artists tend to forget. And one other thing that they often don't do is they sign contracts without having a lawyer look them over. And artists are getting a lot savvier these days and they're not doing that. But there's also these crazy like legal in a box services where you can just go and, you know, fill your name out and, you know, and a little bit of information, they pop out a contract. And that is not how you need to do business as an artist. It's going to put you in a really, really tough and bad situation. And I had a client or a potential client come to me talking about the fact that she was about to release her single. And, you know, a producer came back to her and she was really excited about producing this single. And, you know, she had a video shot for it and all of these things. And they never took care of the contract before she was about to release this. And he wanted more money. And so she basically couldn't release it until she paid him, you know, more money. I mean, she negotiated the rate down. But the bottom line is that had she actually had him sign agreements before they actually got into the studio and created this, then he would have no legal stand on to prevent her from putting that music out in the world. So these are the kinds of things that artists need to really be thinking about and making sure that they kind of get these things solidified before they actually start to go into relationships with people, create music, and then end up in a really sticky situation.
Okay, so you gave out a lot of tips, a lot of, you mentioned a lot of common mistakes that musicians make, things they overlook. So you talked about the trademark, about the copyrights, about the contract. And my next question is about, like, okay, if I'm a musician and I'm starting out, what should I do? What are the first steps I should take in order to, you know, make sure that I protect my art, I protect my music, my brand?
The very, very first thing that you need to do is you need to register your copyrights before you go. Like, and I see this happen with lots of producers. What they'll do is they want to, you know, move forward in the music industry, whether it's in, you know, the jazz space or, you know, the rock space or even the hip hop space or whatever. And they go and they send out their lyrics or their beats or whatever. They send them out to a lot of these different companies, you know, just hoping to get an opportunity and a shot. And these companies go, oh, yeah, no kid, we don't want your stuff. And then all of a sudden you hear, you know, an artist like singing over it, or you hear your lyrics, you know, and this is the kind of stuff that happened to me. And so it's really important that before you even start putting it out in the world, is that you go and you get a registration for a copyright for that work. It's so, so very important. I can't tell you how important it is, because you don't want to be in a nasty court battle and when a simple copyright registration would have prevented it. And most of the time, musicians, you know, there, you know, some musicians are challenged financially and you don't want to end up having to go in and try to defend something that you really can't afford. So I think that the most important thing that musicians need to do to protect their music is to use the law to protect it by copywriting it first.
Okay, so even if someone consider himself or herself a kind of nobody or as mm-hmm. an amateur, it's still important to, you know, to take care of the legal side of their career. And you talked about copyright, the copyright process. You really stressed the importance of, you know, taking care of that, of protecting their music. And in kind of more practical terms, how does the copyright process of a song work? Can you make us an example from, let's say, from an artist that is based in the US? So what are, you know, kind of, what is the organization an artist in the US should contact? What are the costs of copywriting a song?
Right. Well, the first thing that we need to address is that there are two different types of copyrights. Mm-hmm. So there, when it comes to music, there is the copyright to the actual sound recording of somebody actually performing a piece of music. And then there's the copyright to the underlying work. So what that looks like is let's just say you had, let's see, who won? Robert Glasper. So Robert Glasper just won, you know, he just won in the jazz category for his latest album. So he owns the copyright to the, you know, the melody and specifically what it is that the music that he wrote. And then there is the copyright that he also owns to the actual work itself of him going into the studio, creating the recording of that music that he originally wrote down, and then putting that onto a CD. So you see how that works. There's like the underlying mm-hmm. work, and then there is the actual recording of the work. So those are the two copyrights that you need to own. That's the reason why somebody can go, let's just say you decided that you wanted to go and record a Robert Glasper tune. You wouldn't own Robert Glasper's underlying work, but you would own the copyright to you actually recording that work. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. And what you need to do, if you're an artist in the United States, then you go to copyright.gov, and that is where you would do your registration for a creative work. It's approximately, I believe it's $35 now, unless they raise it a couple bucks. And you would go about basically looking, setting up your account, looking at the specific categories, and then following the prompts to just upload your work and what is it specifically that they're asking for in terms of what the category is, whether it's a, you know, whether it's a play or, you know, whether it's a piece of music or whatever. And, you know, you just kind of follow the prompt. It's really intuitive. It's not a hard thing to do, which is why I tell artists why that is so important to do it, because, again, the fee is, you know, pretty small in comparison to other things that you need for your music career, like, you know, a band or a saxophone, you know, so, you know, and it can really protect you in the long run. So that's how it all works. And if you don't know specifically how to do this and you need help and support around it, there are many organizations in the United States that can help you. For example, Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts is a really great organization that has a branch pretty much in every state that will allow you to, you know, hire a lawyer for a very small amount of money or no money, or they will advise you specifically if you go there on what it is that you need to do to register your copyright. So that's how it works.
Okay, great. So you talked about the two types of copyright, and I read a post actually that you written about the topic. So you elaborated on the topic even more. So guys, if you want to learn more about the two types of copyright, you can find the link to that post in the show notes. And you also talked about the process a little bit, how it works. So you know, to get in touch with, you just mentioned an organization. And in terms of costs, do you have an approximate cost of, you know, how much it would cost to take care of the copyright of, let's say, of one song, for example, for someone in the States?
Absolutely. It is around $35 or so for per creative work. So you can register an entire CD for that price, or you could register one song for that price. It just depends on what it is that you want to register. So yeah, you can do either of those. And like I said, it's around $35 if they haven't raised it a little bit more than that.
Okay, anyways, a very reasonable price. Okay, Jeanette, the next question I have to ask you is, you know, related to technology. Kind of, you talked about it a little bit in the beginning about, you know, how music is changing with technology. And obviously today with YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, Amazon, it's really easy to promote one's music, but it's also easy for other people to infringe copyright. So what advice do you have for the listeners in terms of, you know, uploading their music online and protecting their music online?
I think that the most important thing that artists need to do when they're protecting their work online, there are ways that you can add an imprint to your music just to track where it ends up going. Mm-hmm. The other, and I can't think of any websites off the top of my head, but there are websites that allow you to kind of create like a digital footprint on the work that you send out so that you know where it goes. I would also recommend that you set up Google Alerts, mm-hmm. so that anytime the name of your song comes up, or your name, or anything like that that comes up kind of in these, you know, the digital online space, you'll be able to track that and figure out where it is that you're going. I also recommend that if you have a fan base, to let them know, tell them that you're accessible. And if you see anything that, you know, if you see the music or you hear the music somewhere and you know that that I didn't put it there, you know, your fans will look out for you. They will tell you if there's something that's going on that doesn't look kosher. And also just realize there was something really interesting that Erykah Badu said a while ago, and she just basically said, you know, for her, when she creates the music and she releases it to the world, it doesn't belong to her anymore. She just puts it out there. And now, obviously, she has an incredible catalog and she's a star. So, you know, she doesn't have as much of an attachment to it. Mm-hmm. But what I would say for artists who are just starting out and they're saying, look, you know, I want to make sure that I get credited, that it's my work that's being recognized, I think that registering it with one of the organizations to monitor the royalties. So one of the performing rights societies like CSEC or ASCAP, mm-hmm. or BMI, registering it there is very important. Also going on Sound Exchange and registering your work there to make sure that you get your digital royalties. That's very important because someone can't pay you if they don't know where you are. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you do your registration of your copyrights and set Google alerts, tell your audience, and, you know, move forward if you are still kind of getting yourself out there and on your, you know, on the grind and you're trying to get people to recognize you and you want to make sure that that your work stays protected, then consider putting a digital footprint on the work so you can track it.
Love it. You have given out so many great tips. You mentioned quite many resources that I'm sure are going to be very useful to the listeners. And guys, I want to say it once again. I really want to stress it that you find the links to everything Jeanette and I have talked about in the show notes, because she mentioned so many great resources that you can find, that you can start to use to protect your music as an independent musician. And Jeanette, my last question to wrap up this great episode is, if you were to give one final tip to the listeners, to the indie musicians who are listening to you and I, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to just don't be afraid to put your work out in the world. The world needs what it is that you have to offer, but at the same time, be smart about it and protect it. That's what I would say.
Awesome. And guys, make sure to go to Janae's website and to subscribe to the newsletter so that you get even more tips on how to get empowered, protect your music, and protect your brand. Janae Williams, I want to thank you so very much for being here on the Jazz Spotlight podcast and telling us more about the great things you do and to tell us more about how musicians can protect their music.
Oh, it was so great. And thank you so much, John, for providing this space for people to be educated on what it is that they need to do. And, you know, you bring some really incredible people on the show. So I just want to thank you for putting creating a platform for artists to know what they need to do in order to get their work out there in a bigger way. So thank you for that.
Great. Thank you so much, Janae. It's my pleasure. I love what I do, and it definitely helps and motivates me even more to have great guests like you. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good one.
All righty, everybody. We are back. Janae, thank you so much for being here on the podcast, for telling us more about all the great things you do, and for giving out some valuable tips on how to protect music. After the interview, Janae and I were talking and she shared something great, which is finally ready to go. There were still a couple of details that needed to be worked on, but now everything is ready to go. And it's the Artist Empowerment Free 10-Day Challenge and Global Network Launch Celebration. So guys, if you're talented, but you know, somehow you have difficulty describing what you really do to other people. Maybe you wish you had a community of artists that are maybe as talented as you that could help brainstorm and collaborate with. And you have gone to conferences, maybe you've read blogs, listened to podcasts, and you have followed the tips, but somehow you would like to go deeper. You would like to be more empowered. There is the Artist Empowerment 10-Day Challenge. It's absolutely free from February 23rd to March 4th. Go to artistempowerment.com to sign up, or in alternative, you can also find the link at thejazzpotlight.com/episode69. It's there, the show notes. So either way, make sure to join the Artist Empowerment Challenge. And if you're on Twitter and you want to share this with your followers, if maybe you know someone you think could benefit from joining the Artist Empowerment Challenge, make sure to tweet about it using the hashtag AEChallenge. Okay, guys, the last thing I want to tell you today, it's about the next episode. On Thursday, we're gonna talk about how you can easily create incredibly cool visual content. So images that you can use to promote your music or your website, your upcoming gigs, your blog, whatever it is that you want to promote. We're going to learn more about how we can do that, even if we are not particularly skilled with visual content. Maybe we don't know much about the tools, about design. We're going to learn more about how we can do all that without losing our nerves. I'm Yanni Lunga, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in with me in this Fat Tuesdays episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast with Janae Williams. Thank you for making us part of your day, and I'll talk to you back on Thursday. Take care.